for his salvation. I thank God for what he's doing in our life. I thank God for the things he's putting in and the things he's taking away. There's some things that always need to be taken away in the life. And I thank you for the opportunity this morning to preach over there at Sio. I was kind of nervous about it, but the Lord stepped in. That's one thing about our God. When people let him step in and we get out of the way, things go accordingly. It's when we get in the way as people that things become a mess. And that's where all this the plan of salvation and Romans Road and all that, it's a mess. It's got Baptist, Christians, people, it's a mess because man has stepped in the way. Man has gotten in the way of God. They think that we know better than what God knows. The Lord showed me something the other day. When you're called to be a bishop, there's some things you got to have and not have in your life. We all know the big things. You can't be married and you got to be open to hospitality and this and that. But I'm just going to tell you now, to be a bishop, to be a pastor, to be a leader of the church, you have to have patience, it says.
Right.
Where's the patience? Why are you shutting everything down? Somebody's throat is not ready. The Holy Ghost has not cracked their heart open yet.
None.
Where's that patience, Pastor? They're worried about everything else it has to be a bishop. But they go ahead and they get over. How's your house? You got it in order? Are you running it the way it says? It says in order to be a bishop, you have to be able to run your house into an order. Because if you can't do it in your own house, you can't do it in the house of God. And you got to have patience. You see, they're missing the whole thing here. They go ahead and why? Because they stepped in their way. But we're going to go ahead and stop there because I will get ahead of myself. I'm going to be coming out of Joshua 2. You know, I haven't been saved just a few short years. But I'm just telling you now, in those few short years, since I've told the Lord, Lord, I'm going to read this Bible every day. I don't care if it kills me. I'm going to read it. I'm going to study it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to learn it to the best of my abilities with him with me. I'm just telling you now, in these few short years that he's saved me, I see so many things. So many things that break my heart in this Christian life. I mean, it just tears me up. And it's a sad, sad thing for a person who was never raised in any kind of religion, get saved, and then read a King James Bible and see how crooked and how wrong and how messed up Christianity has become. You want to know how messed up it is? Let me just tell you this. This is what I preached on over there in Sio. We have so much bitterness and anger and hate towards our own brothers and sisters that Christianity is losing a battle and nobody wants to admit it. There's no power of God resting on anybody anymore.
Come on.
So much bitterness and hate towards their own brothers, and that people in the outside world look at us and go, I don't want that. I have that out here. This is supposed to be a place of refuge, a change, a place to come and find some peace. And there's bitterness and hate and anger amongst the brethren. You want to know how I know Christianity is losing ground? The sodomites are taking over. The drug addicts are okay. They have 1-800-DOUBT. It's an atheist phone number now that you can call if you're an atheist, and they'll help convince you that what they believe is real. Look it up. It's on the news. 1-800-DOUBTS. And it's for atheists. Almighty Christian. Almighty Baptist, what are we doing to fight this? We're going out there with a little card that has a Romans Road on it or a prayer and think that we're holier than thou. I mean, we're mighty now. We can go out there and tell somebody about this thing and it's going to have something. Don't they realize that their eyes have been opened yet? That we're losing ground. We're not gaining anything. All the hundreds and thousands of... last week I saw 100 of people get saved. And you come in that church Sunday and there's 4 people sitting in the church. Where are they? Week after week you go back and you just hear all these people. Oh, I led this many people to the Lord, that many people to the Lord. Let me tell you something. If all those people got saved, we wouldn't be losing the ground that we are today. But we are. Why? Because these people are missing it. Psalm 51 says, a broken and contrite heart. How many of us have been up to the altar with a broken heart but not contrite? That's what it takes for salvation. But yet we have impatient preachers and evangelists going up there shoving stuff down these people's throats. And wondering why Christianity is losing ground the way it is. It's time to wake up in Black Creek and smell the coffee. Smell what's going on. You know why? It's written in the King James Bible. We are risen. in the newness of life. And that newness of life comes from the King James Bible, and it tells us to go out there and do some things. It tells us to go out there, you just show me one time, please, one time, show me, please, one time, where anybody uses the Romans Road to lead somebody to Jesus. Please. Matter of fact, I can show you times over and over again. It uses the law to show people, convinces them that way. Law cannot save you, it never will save you. But it convinces people who and what they are. It shows them who and what they are. The schoolmaster. Excuse me, schoolmaster is somebody that brings you from one place to the next. The law is that schoolmaster. Where does it bring us from? The law unto the faith in Jesus Christ. You know that faith, for by grace are you saved? Not of yourself, but is that it? Is that the word? Am I saying it right? Yeah. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. Here's how I explained it. That faith is Jesus Christ's faith. He gives us the saving faith. If we had to have saving faith, then that comes by our works. Salvation is not by our works. It's by Jesus Christ. He gives us that saving faith. So now we have all these people out there saying, oh, you're just going to have faith in Jesus Christ and you'll get saved, blah, 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 this and that. I'm going to tell you this right now. God's not done with that person yet. In order to be a bishop, you have to have patience. That means back off and let the Holy Ghost work in this person, not you. Man has gotten in the way. Man has gotten in the way. We wonder why we're losing grounds in this Christian thing, this Christian battle. It's sad to see. Joshua 2:24. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of this country do faint because of us. This is a picture of what the church used to have here in America. There was a fear and a reverence when the men of God came into a place. Men, women, and children had a fear because they knew that they were going to hear the word of God and would reveal to themselves what they were and where they stood before a holy God. Men of God used to be able to walk into a town and say, go ahead, we're going to have a meeting tonight. And they go ahead and they set that thing up, and people would have a reverence and a fear when they came into the town because they knew that a man was going to grab an old King James Bible, get up there and preach, and people were going to get saved. Why? Because it showed them who they were. There is no reverence for that man. I just tell you what, he can walk into another town that doesn't know, and he can say, yo, let's go have a meeting. And you know, sure. They want nothing to do with it anymore. Christianity. You ever notice they're the ones that they're always making movies about, documentaries about picking on and all this and that? How come they're not making a documentary about Muhammad or Allah or the Buddhists? Why aren't they doing that? Because we have the true and living God. They do not.
Amen.
Okay, the devil has infiltrated Christianity, people. It's time to stop being so blinded by that. Listen, I'm just telling you now, the devil is amongst the brethren. It's in the church. He's in the churches. He's putting these people in these churches, and you know what? It's infiltrating us, and we're just sitting back and we're taking it. There is no fear. I know I have an absolute respect for our pastor and other men of God, but I mean absolute respect. I don't put them on a pedestal like they're a God, but I have an absolute respect for them, and I thank God that God sends them our way, and I have a reverence for them. I have a respect for them. And when I know when they start preaching that word, something's going to happen. Brother Scott preached that whole week. He don't have to get up here and scream and yell. He just got a touch with God. That's just beyond anybody I've ever seen. He gets up here and he preaches exactly what God wants him to have. He's not high-minded, full of pride, or anything else. Preaches a King James Bible and it tears you out the front. I know it changed some things in my life last week.
Amen. Amen.
People used to breath. They loved that. They said to Joshua, even the inhabitants of this country do faint because of us. When people heard, oh man, this guy's coming in our town to preach, man, they would get afraid. You know why they get afraid? Because they knew that guy was coming with the power of the Holy Ghost and the King James Bible to preach to them. They knew something was about to happen to them. That doesn't happen anymore. Oh, we're going to have a special meeting in April or October. All right. Maybe I'll show up, maybe I won't. If I do, I'll just come here so people don't say nothing to me. They don't think I want to play Skippy Church and this and that. Hey, you know, special meetings are not mandatory. But I tell you what, there's power in special meetings.
Right.
There's power in special meetings. Matter of fact, I got saved during a special meeting. I got saved in an October meeting. My wife got saved in an April meeting.
Nah.
Not saying there's no power with our pastor. There was all the power with our pastor. He watered, somebody planted, God gave the increase. That's how it works.
Amen.
God, you know, men can't see that anymore. Because now you've got a little card that you can flip over and pray and read a Romans rotor. There you go. I've done nothing. Get that nonsense. No. That almost sent me and my wife to hell. No reverence. Today, this is sadly not so. The church, God's people, have lost in touch with what God's will is and have begun to follow after man's will, money, and power. Why countless souls in whom Jesus died for are being lost. Repentance, salvation, holiness, and separation is a lost art among the Bible believers, that they may be Bible believers, but they are not Bible livers. They may say they believe a Bible, but they don't live the Bible. I told them over there in Sile this morning, I said, let me get one thing straight with you. When God left us, when He gave us this King James Bible, He gave it to us as a whole. Not for you pick and choose. The Old Testament is just as much as the New Testament. The New Testament just as much as the Old Testament. He gave it to us as a whole, or else they would not be in here. People want to pick and choose. Let me read my next point. They call themselves, they come to the point where they call themselves King James defenders. And all they are defending is what they pick and choose from the Word of God instead of the whole and believing it for exactly what it says and who it says to. They have to twist the context, distort the truth, and get it to fit into their mold. This has destroyed any power with the church, any power with God that the church used to have. They have taken it upon themselves to correct, change, or rearrange the truth, and God has withdrawn His power from it. Rarely does it grip hold of onto one or their soul, yet they claim to have all the power with God and that it's still there. They have allowed their minds to be blinded by their own agenda and have put God's will on the back burner. Yeah, I'm a King James Bible defender. What are you defending? Your crowd? The little mold that you've been shaped in? How about letting the King James Bible shape and mold you and defend that? How about becoming a believer instead of just somebody who's, a liver, and somebody said, instead of somebody who just says they believe a Bible?
Well,
anybody can say they believe a Bible, but that does not make you a Bible liver. Somebody who's going to live what it says. Do you know that's what we're being called out to as a new man? To live what the Bible says? And let me just say this. Not what you pick and choose. You're going to take it for what it says as a whole. You can't break it down to make it fit your life and think that that's okay. There's no power with that. Can't we see that people are getting lost in that? They really think they still have a power with God? Show me where, please. Why are we standing where we are as Christians today if we have so much power with God? Can somebody please explain that to me? You call that having power with God? I don't want it then. I'll go somewhere in my King James Bible and get God's power myself. On my own, out of His Word. I don't need your mold. I don't need you to try to shape me into something you want me to be. How about if I let God shape me into what He wants me to be?
That's plain and simple.
You know what? Let me read a couple words. This is what He wants me to be. He wants me to... I got repentance. I got salvation. Now He's called me out to holiness. Now He's called me out to separation. He's called me to be salt. He's called me to be a soldier. He's called me to be a light unto this world. You know what He says? I'm changed in the newness of life. Changed. A new person. New man. New things. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. That's what He's called me. Or did I just read that wrong?
No,
I don't think I did. But you know what? Man is too busy with their own agenda. They're too busy with their own agenda. They're too busy worrying about this and numbers and this and that. You know, I don't care if anybody ever, ever got saved out of my ministry. As long as I was doing faithful, did what God was doing. And somebody else came along and preached them, and maybe they got converted.
I like it.
God forbid, if I ever get up here, please, Lord, and I pray this with all my sincerity in my heart, that I never get up anywhere and start preaching something that I want to say. You know why the Lord changes a lot of... I say, man, the Lord gave me a message for this week. Do you know why He changes a lot of them? Because my intents. Huh? Because I have intentions to preach to somebody or preach at somebody. That's not what the Lord called me to do. He called me to do this for Him. Not for my own agenda. But we've lost that. We've lost that. Yeah, I got some big names coming to this tent meeting. Hundreds are going to be saved. Finally going to get some victory. After the week, a week after the meeting, not one of those people are sitting in that church doing anything.
Yeah.
Hey, I've only been saved almost 4 years. And in those 4 years, we've been drugged through it. You know why? What's he say? Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. A soldier. Here's the illustration I use. You're a soldier out there fighting on the field. You can either dig in or run. You can't go home. You're still going to be stuck in that country. So now you're going to dig into that foxhole next to your who? Your brothers and your sister. And you're going to fight together. Oh, but that relationship is gone. Where are the brothers fighting together? Well, they're not fighting together. They're fighting each other. This whole Christian battle, listen, the devil has infiltrated Christianity, and now Christians are fighting each other. So many differences brings bitterness that the brothers can't even get in the trenches together anymore to fight this battle. There's a battle to be fought out here, man. People are going to hell every day. And because of our own agendas, because we won't get in the pit, because we won't get in the trenches with that one or this one or that one, these people are dying and going to hell. And we're okay with that. That's kind of sad to me. It's a wonder why people don't want to come into a Christian church and be a Christian. Why would they want it when they see this? Oh, God have mercy. God have mercy on those who call themselves Bible believers and those who say they love the Lord. God have mercy on us. May He change our mind and start revival right here in our hearts. Right here. Me. That's where it needs to happen. I'm not pointing at you. I'm pointing at myself. I'm just telling you. They're not Bible livers. They need Bible defenders. They're only defending what they've been shaped and molded in to defend. That's what they defend. They've taken it upon themselves to correct it, change it, and rearrange the truth. And God has withdrawn His power from it. Rarely does that kind of belief or that kind of stuff have any hold or grip on anybody. They're not staying in the churches. They're playing either, you know, musical chairs or, you know, they're just going off and not wanting to be around it. I mean, the whole chance of, you know, possibly the garbage that they hear and see in a church makes people not want to come back. I tell you what, Black Creek is not perfect. We're all a work of art. Thank God He loves each and every one of us, though. But I tell you what, I bet you people can come in this church and feel comfortable here. And if they're not comfortable, then we'll correct it really quick. Because God forbid, listen, Christians, God forbid if we got to stand before Jesus Christ one day, Pastor, and He says, John Asquith, you said this to that person.
Right.
Why did you do that?
I'm old.
Oh. Turn me inside out, Lord. If I ever done that to somebody, please come and tell me. I'd rather get it right with You than somebody to ever walk up this door and I got to stand before Jesus Christ one day and He's going to say, I lost that one because of you, Dale. That's happening all over in the churches today, guys. You know who's paying the price? That lost one. That lost one. You don't think we're going to be accountable for their souls? We're going to stand before Jesus Christ one day and He's going to say, why did you do that? Because of you. Look what's happening to this person. Have we scooped that low in Christianity? That's what it's about now? That we don't care for the soul that's out there lost and needs some hope and needs to see Jesus Christ? How can anybody get saved when we're not out there showing them who Jesus Christ is? You may not be a good speaker. That's fine and dandy. But your lifestyle can speak volumes.
Come on.
What you say, how you act. We all have bad days and mess up. But not constant. How many sitting here today doesn't know anybody who would love to have hope? You think God just gave you that hope for you to hold on to? You think He just said, here, take that and just sit there. Don't worry about it. Don't share it with nobody. Don't show nobody else. Hey, don't worry about that drug addict, the alcoholic, the one who's got vomit all over him, who stinks, who's filthy. Don't worry about that one who's going to die and go to hell. Ah, don't worry about it. I died for him. Don't eat that. You know, it's no big deal. That's what we've become, people. Here, let me give you this. You go ahead and read that. You know, pray that prayer and you'll be okay. Make me want to puke. It does. Ain't nothing that irks me more than that. Hi, my name is Dale Morey. It's a little bit about my testimony. My phone number and email's on there. Come to church. I can come pick you up or whatever. Just come to church. And, you know, if the Lord ever, you ever run into some trouble, you might need some help, why don't you give me a buzz? I'll see you later. How can we do that? Why do we have to force Roman? Let me tell you something. You can get somebody in about 10 seconds to come up here with a broken heart. The Holy Ghost has to give them the contrite heart. That's where men are making their mistakes. I tell my wife, Amy, I forgive me. She said, why? Because I'm not the Holy Ghost. I can't convict you for what you're doing wrong. I try to, though.
Yeah.
That's not me to cross them grounds.
That's right.
I try to tell, oh, hey, you shouldn't do that. Who am I to tell her that? Let God deal with her on that. I mean, there's some things I can come out and say, but you know what? The Holy Ghost has got to be the one that's going to get in, dig that stuff out, open that door, and change that thing. Not a man. Isaiah 8:11 says, for the Lord spake this unto me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. The Word of God tells us not to walk with such people. They have turned their backs on the Bible. They call themselves believers and defenders and walk in the ways of man, the devil, in this world. They have the fear of what man would think of them for standing up for what the Bible truly says, because it doesn't fit in their crowd. It doesn't fit their mold, and they are afraid that people will shut the doors to them preaching there ever again if they stood up for what the Word of God truly says. I've heard it with my own ears that certain people won't preach certain things in certain places because they won't be able to come back there and preach. Then fooey on you.
I've tried.
I'm just telling you right now, God forbid if I ever would ever compromise that. If I ever get to that point and it stopped me from doing anything, just stop me. Boop, be done with it. No longer do I want to open a King James Bible, go out there and preach to somebody if I'm going to compromise because I'm afraid I might hurt somebody's feelings. I'm afraid of what you might think of me. Because you think I care what you think of me about what I think about a King James Bible? You're crazy. Ask my wife, she goes, dang, hon. You know, you live like, you know, people, you don't care what people think about. I said, I don't. And I'm not out there living a crazy life. But I'm out there, if I got the opportunity, I'm going to open my mouth about Jesus Christ, about the Bible, about what he's done, who I am, what I do. I have no fear of what man can do to me. I just don't care. I told the Lord last week, Lord, if I never got up and I never preached anywhere ever again, I said, I'd be satisfied with what I'm doing. I'm not going to go out there and compromise. I'm not going to go out there and try to fit in anybody's mold.
Amen.
Just how it is, man. The Lord is shaping me for who I am, and I'm not perfect, but the Lord is making me into the man that he wants. It's between me and the Lord to do that. I don't want to fit in the crowd. I don't want to say, well, yeah, you know, no, I run with these guys over here. No, I run with that. I don't want that. I'll run with you all. Let's get in the trenches and fight this thing. Let's get this thing right. I'm ready to run with anybody. Let's get in this thing. It's a battle. A battle that Christians are just laying back and letting it just go. You know who's picking up on all that, though? Them liberals. Them booty shakers, the music guys. All them fake Bible believers, I mean, who have an NIV and KSRSBMLY Bible sitting on there. That, those guys there are picking up our throwaways.
Yeah.
And convincing them that they're saved. Let me tell you something. You can never tell. You listen, you can't tell if they're a Christian. Somebody couldn't pay you to believe that most of them people were a Christian. Hey, I'll just give you a little example. Me and Amy claimed salvation. Wow. I preached at the city mission. I was holding up signs on the corner and all this and that. Getting out, I was getting done smoking weed, drinking, fornicating, looking at pornography and everything else. Is that a saved person? I don't think so. Can a saved person do it? Yes. But a desire. The desire. I didn't want to give it up. I didn't want to give it. I wanted to hold on to that. I'll just be honest with you right now. I was looking at pornography up until the time Pastor came to my door 7 years ago. I was addicted to it. And my wife knew about it. Addicted. Guess what happened? I got saved. That desire changed in my heart now.
Amen.
It changed in my life. I was a drinker. Tell me I wasn't a drinker, man. I could sit there and drink a whole 30 pack by myself. Pastor, I used to do it all the time. Guess what I don't do anymore? I don't have the desire. It's gone. It's changed. You see, something happens when a person gets salvation. Biblical salvation. Not man's salvation. Things happen. Things change. For once, I love a woman that I trust.
Amen.
Pastor knows when I came here 7 years ago, I just didn't trust. I struggle off and on here and there. That's what the devil's trying to get to me. But you know what? Things changed. I love my mom. That's something? I love my brother. I love my family. I love coming to church. I love preaching. I love a Bible. You know where all that comes from? Change. I got salvation. Something happened. The newness of life. They fear what man would thinks of them for standing up for what the Bible says. Don't fit in their crowd. Don't shape their mold. They are falling for the ploy that the devil and ignoring what God says. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself." And I explained that. It's not of ourselves, meaning not of ourselves. Jesus' grace, His saving faith, His word, His sending us out. He will in our minds, hearts, and prayers and lives, not of ourselves. There's no way on God's green earth I could ever be where I am today if it was not for Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you right now. Sin had infiltrated my life, and that's part of who I was for many, many years. I always wanted to escape. Many times I had a broken heart. Many times I get fed all these drugs to try to keep my brain right, my anger under control, and all this stuff just to keep me to be able to function day after day for me not, I'm halfway killing somebody. And I mean, I'm just telling you, my mother witnessed me halfway killing people and all this stuff. I'm just telling you now, it's vicious. It was a disgusting, vicious cycle. How did I get where I'm at today? Oh, by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, and Him coming in and taking my heart and changing that thing. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. His saving faith. Him. You know, most people don't reach the point that they need to get to, and that's dying. Spiritually dying. How do you spiritually die? Paul says he didn't spiritually die until he saw the law. The law showed him he was spiritually dead. He had something between him and God. He spiritually died, and guess what happened? He got saved. Then after salvation, guess what happened? Baptism. After baptism, guess what? Change continues to happen. Do you think he just writes that down in his word because that's something that might happen and might not happen? No, it will happen. Here's my biggest reason why I know it will happen. Because he lives inside of each and every saved person.
Right, here we go.
That's okay if you're a Christian and you mess up. He'll correct you if he's living in there. That's just how we go. Hey, I love my children. Everybody in this church, I don't think there's any person here who doesn't love their children. You do correct them. You know, even grandchildren. You correct them as such. Why wouldn't Jesus do that for one of his own? Oh, maybe you missed it. Maybe you're a bastard like the Bible says. Maybe you're not one of his. I'm telling you, you're not going to walk this earth with Jesus Christ living in you and not get corrected for the things you do. Either that or I'm just something special. Either that or I'm that hard-headed. Well, I always get it. You know? I mean, yeah. She's like, yeah. There's something missing here with this with salvation, when people aren't getting the chastisement, aren't getting, they're not learning, that things aren't changing in their life. There's something that people have missed it. You know why? Because man has created their own salvation, Pastor. They have left what Bible salvation really is. Well,
amen.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. That means I didn't save me. Read the Bible over and over, and whose salvation is it? Salvation is the Lord. Salvation is God. Salvation is the Lord. It's not ours. So if it's not ours, then he could, you know what? I could not save myself. I could not come up and drum up the saving faith Jesus Christ had to give me. Why? But he had to give me the saving faith. Why? Because it's not of myself. If I had to come up with my own saving faith, then it'd be my works. It'd be my salvation. And it's not. It's his. Plain and simple. Oh, but wait, I can't preach that at other churches. Something. They might flip out. No, that's wrong. Like charity and love. I mean, people just can't see it. They don't understand it. And all you have to do is take the Bible for what it says, not what you think it says. Take the Bible for what it says. Don't try to make anything of it. Just say, God, teach me for what your Bible says. Show me what it... And I'm just going to tell you now, it will flip everything you ever believed around. I mean, it will twist it up. It will. And what a wonderful thing to really see. Oh, that went... Ooh. All those years, and I thought that... I wonder why I've been living that way. Take that Bible for what it says. God is good. Not of yourselves means not of yourself. Churches are doing it of themselves and are losing the battle. Has our way helped America? Has our way given us more power with God? Are there more souls being saved our way? How about the churches that are closing and the pews that are emptying? How about all those? You lead the Lord. How is all that working for us with all the people you have won? You should have a little army, and there should be doors still opening in churches and pews being filled and saving the thousands. Where are they? If you've done so much, then where are God's people in the churches? Why are the church doors closing if you've won so many people to the Lord? Why? Why are there empty pews if you've won all these people to the Lord? Well, why is your own church, your very own church, empty? They're stuck in that though.
Sure are. Take it off.
They just can't see it. You know why? The devil has infiltrated. They're comfortable where they're at. They don't think, you know what? And not all pastors and preachers are this way, but I've seen a lot of them in my travels. Instead of going out there working with the people and being in working with them and being in society with them, they'll say, oh, my deacon should go out there and do that. Oh, no, Dale's been called to do that, not me. Oh, no. Oh, no, Bishop. Give into hospitality. Get your rear end out there and get some people in. That's right. You need to go out there and work in the community. Hey, this is just my fault. I don't care if you throw stones at me. I just got to tell you, before a young man or anybody who's called to be a preacher or a pastor of a church, I think they need to go to the streets of the city and work with some real people for a while. Because you know what they're going to do? Here's the keys. They're going to come in here to a church that's already established, get paid some money, think they have a little power trip going on, and preach to the same people week after week and never bring a new soul to that church.
Right.
You know why? They don't know how. Pastor says it perfectly. They don't know how. Good. Let's teach them how. Let's disciple them. Let's send them out there on the streets and get out there. Go ahead and live amongst the people. Work amongst the people. Go out there and bring some souls into your church when you start it. Oh, no. I can't do that. That's too much. What about missionaries to America? God knows who he needs to send overseas. But why not missionaries here in America? Tell me, is there a place in Allegheny County alone that doesn't need Jesus? But everybody is so hyped up on going overseas. Hey, let's try this. You're called to be a missionary, fine and dandy. Let's go ahead and work in your own neighborhood, get some souls saved, get them established in this church, in your church, and then when God calls you and sends you somewhere, you go. But I'll tell you right now, that calling may never come on your life for you to leave America. But they're all caught up in it. It's a big business. $7,000 a month? American money? My goodness. I could live pretty good with that. But you know what? What about our own people? What about our neighbors? Let's just stop right there. What about our own family members? Why do we have to go overseas? Do you know, I put this on the church's Facebook. We have every religion in every country right here in America. Why can't we do it right here in America? There's Muslims here. There's Indians. There's this. There's Hindus. There's that. They're right here in America. Why can't we go here? Why are we going everywhere else? And I'm not saying God doesn't send people out. He does. But he tells us right here. Why not right here in Black Creek, Cuba, Rushford, Belfast? Why not? I'm guilty of that stuff too. But I'm just saying, the church in whole, they're so tied up on sending people out. If we do send them out, they should be home in a year. There should be another pastor. I don't know what they're called. A pastor from that whole country who takes over. Let him take over.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul Scott says it perfectly. Go out there and win those nationals to Jesus Christ and let them take over. You come home. Don't stay over there for life for years and years. It's not meant to be. You have a home here. You have people here who are lost and dying and going to hell on a daily basis. They're burning in the flames of hell. And let me tell you, you know what? Nobody's been to them. I'm too afraid to go on the east side of Buffalo or this and that. It's a scary thing to be caught up in the midst of that kind of stuff. But if God is with you and he's in it, what do you have to fear? You going home? You're going to go to glory. Let's just say God said, you, I want you to go to the Fruit Bell. And anybody who knows Buffalo knows the Fruit Bell. They know that place is off the meters. Fruit Bell is a crazy. White people are not allowed in the Fruit Bell. You're going to the Fruit Bell, and you're going to go over there, and you're going to preach to the people on the street corner. What if God called you to do that right now? Let's just say he did that. How many are going to go? But they'll run over to a different country and go to the same position in the same place almost getting killed, head chopped off, and everything else, but they won't do it here in America. It bothers me. You know when I started seeing that? When Paul Scott started coming in here. I just seen, gosh, but you know what? We need something here in America as well. I'm not trying to overstep God. He sends people over where He wants them. I'm all for that, man. But I'm just telling you now, America used to send missionaries out because they didn't need it as much. But we need it more than those over there. I'm just telling you, America's lost their footing, man. Go ahead and try to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. Talk to them about the Bible. Talk to them about the church. They don't want to hear it. Not interested. That's because we've gotten away. Either we have lost power with God or He's a liar. I'm going to go with the first.
Amen.
God is not a liar. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said and shall not do it? Or hath He spoken and shall not make it good? Is this not the word of God? Or do you choose to cut this one out as well? The truth is the truth, and man is a liar. Romans 3:4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome, when thou art judged. I fear the judgment of God over any man. More men need to see that and get back to the truth and stand up for it. No, as I stand here today, there's people who are going to have a church service tonight who will stand up there behind that church pew, and they'll go out there and they'll preach an awesome message. But they're afraid of what man thinks of them and not God.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. People are afraid to lose a church. They're afraid to lose this. They're afraid to lose that. And stand up for what God will have them to do. And they don't understand that has taken... Listen, the power of God... God is holy. He's righteous. And He calls churches out to be that. And when we have that wrong, do you think God still, His power still might be on that church? I think there's some chastising coming to that church. Mm-hmm. Some judgment. But they don't see it that way. They'll just tell you they have the most power of God they ever had in their entire life. And not one new person has been in the church in 25 years. Not one new convert has ever come in. If they have got saved, they got saved at some meeting where somebody went over a prayer with them and sent them out and never even called them again.
Yeah.
Never even called them again. Imagine nobody ever calling you again. Imagine if you left out of Black Creek and nobody ever texted you again. Or wonder, gosh, I wonder where Doug is. I wonder where Joshua is. I wonder where Randy's at. We had that here. You better believe it. If one of you are missing, somebody's asking, hey, where's so-and-so? Hey, where's so-and-so? That happens here. Now, like I said, we're not a perfect church, but that people care here. You're going to get the Word of God here. You're going to get it. The Holy Ghost can move. He can work in your life freely here. He's not bound up. He's not worried about what man might think. He's got free reign in this church. May not be in your hearts, but He has it in this church. Churches have lost that. They want to become the Holy Ghost. They want to convict people. No, let God do it. We all know the outward sins that we all have committed. What about the inwards that nobody knows about? That's what the Holy Ghost wants. That's what He needs to get into right there. That's where the contrite heart comes from, right there. I have a broken heart. Come up to the altar, you cry, Lord, help me. Nah. Lord's looking at you going, man, you just stop. That one right there, let go of that. That's for Him. You're holding on to it, knowing you're at the altar and you're almost there. You get up and people are like, oh man, he had such a broken heart. I know he got saved. They go to his house the next day. There's a crack pipe hanging out of his mouth. He's drinking the beer. You know what? Nothing ever happened to that guy. Why? He held on to that one part that he needed to let go. But why are we shoving it down people's throat? Why are we trying to convince people they're saved? It's not our job to convince them. The Bible says you will know why, because the Spirit of God will witness with your spirit that you are His.
Right.
If you're doubting, fine. Deal with it. Head, go. Compare. Look it. Search out your salvation with fear and trembling. Get into the Bible and wonder why you're doubting. Figure it out. Let God show you why. Don't come up to a man and say, do you think I'm lost? No. But they're doing that. I can name some big names right now of people who've done that to my wife.
Yeah.
You're okay. Don't worry. And she used to eat her up. No, there's something not right. I'd tell her, don't, you're right, Amy. There's something not right about it. There's something going on with me and you that's deeper. This is why when we're coming here, we go to pastor, he say, just get in your Bible. Get in there. Let Jesus, trust Jesus. Let's get over and over and over again. And then finally, Jesus reached in and bang. It was done. Could you imagine if the men would have kept pounding and hounding us? We may be lost and dying and go to hell today. That didn't happen. We're saved. We're children of God sitting up here today. My wife, she's a child of the Lord, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because we are allowed to be lost. We are allowed the Holy Ghost to get in there and come in and change our lives. People say, gosh, that guy claims to be saved, but nothing ever changes with them. Look, he's still out there doing the same old thing. Oh, he's fine. He's having a hard time, man. I'm just telling you now, I mess up. But I get convicted. I get chastised. And I'll tell you what, the Lord sets me on the right path. And I continually change. I never hit a plateau. I haven't hit a plateau, and I won't hit a plateau. I won't hit a wall as long as I'm here. I'll never walk on this earth perfect. I will always mess up, always sin, and always need to be corrected. Here's the difference. I change. When God shows me something, I get it out of my life, and I never return to it again, hopefully, by the will of God. I'm just telling you, people are convincing people that they're saved when they should not be. Because now when somebody, let's say the Holy Ghost says, Tanya, I need you to go talk to this girl over here. And the Holy Ghost sends you over there to talk to that girl. And she is so convinced that she's saved. And you go, oh man, the Lord sent you there because he knows she's not saved. But she won't listen to you because some other idiot already came over and convinced her that she's okay. That's what we deal with.
Right.
That's what America's full of. That's a sad. It's so sad that's where the church has become. Men of God, I mean, that I love dearly. I see them trapped in this very trap. And it breaks my heart. Because I know they have a touch of God. I know they do. There's no question in my mind whatsoever. I just look and go, help. God help us all. God help Black Creek Baptist Church to break that mold.
Amen.
God help raise up some men, Randy, Zane, Trevor, Luke. You open your eyes, Josh, Caleb, Dustin. Raise some men up. Get them in the Bible, man. Get them saved. They believe it and live it. There's a difference between believing it and living it. And send them forth out of the Black Creek Baptist Church, man. Preach the truth. That's what he said. Preach unto all nations. Preach unto them all. Get them all. There's all nations right here in America. Get to them. Can't, though. We gotta go out there and get 7,000 a month. Imagine if we asked for that here. You know, God, you know what it says? He'll provide your need. N-E-E-D. Not z. Not everything you think you need. Because everything you think you need, you can do without. We know that. We're starting to learn that pretty good, anyway.
When he says need, he means it.
God is good, though. He gets you through it, man. Whoo! I can imagine. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if you speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. How's that? Oh boy. I read that. To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Hey, you got Jesus Christ, you hate your brother, you have Jesus Christ. You have a King James Bible in front of you, and you're going out with all this baloney and garbage and telling me you have the light in you? Man, you are blinded. I'm sad for you on that. I'm sad that's when you really see yourself. Let me keep reading. At 21, it says, and shall pass through hardly beasted and hungry, and shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, and they shall fret themselves, and they shall curse the king, what's it say? And their God. And look upward. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're doing now. Why are they doing that now? Because they themselves have become the God. I'm just telling you now. They have become the God. They don't want the real God. Why? Call the holiness, separation. I mean, all this stuff God calls a regular, just a plain old Christian out to be. You don't have to be called out to be a bishop or an evangelist. evangelist or a teacher, but I'm going to tell you right now, I can probably name 10 or 15 things right now on my hand that God has called just an everyday, average Christian to be.
Yep.
But that's not important? Yes, it's important. It's just as important as a pastor or a bishop or an evangelist. It's all important because God said it. He's the one who sent us out to do it. To be a soldier. To be salt. To be light unto the men. To be separate. To be holy. These are all callings of a normal, everyday Christian. Preach unto all nations. Or teach unto all nations, it says. Teach. Teach. Tell me in here where it says in the Bible you can't teach. Why can't you go teach your friend? And I'm not just pointing at you like that. To say, your friend. Why can't you teach your friend? Why can't you go out there and teach yours? Why can't you teach yours? That's what the Bible's saying. Why can't you just teach yours? These are just things normal everyday Christians are called to be. Guess what? We're not being that. Because again, they're taking a King James Bible. They're looking at it as a Bible, and they're just taking out little things that they want to fit their mold, to fit their crowd, to fit their life. That's what they're defending.
I may not be much of a defender, but I'll tell you what. I'm going to defend a King James Bible, and I'm going to defend it as a whole. Not just the things that I take out of it, but the things that also show me what I am. The things that also hurt me. The things that also convince me. The things that also convince me. The very things that went ahead and brought me to repentance and salvation. Those things I'm going to defend. Because I'm a Bible believer and liver. By choice. Why? Because my desires have changed since salvation. Ain't that something?
I'm going to try to finish up with this here. And they shall look up, and they shall look into the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness and anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. How sad to know that this is where God's people have been driven. The church's light has been put out and extinguished. Where churches were once used of God as a beacon of light for this dark world now mirrors the same image as this world. People look at a church and all they see is themselves in it. They see no difference. There's no beacon of light. It's like holding a mirror up in front of a church. They look in and all they see is the same things they're already seeing on the world. There's no hope. They're not seeing anything different amongst these Christians. It has not become a place of refuge. If it was, these pews would be filled today. People are not seeing a church as a place of refuge anymore. They're finding refuge elsewhere. Elsewhere. Black Creek, these doors, when people walk in here, should be a refuge for sick, sin-sick people where God, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ can come in here and just wallop them.
Amen.
I'm just telling you now, if Black Creek Baptist Church ever loses that, may these doors close forever. Because it was that very thing that saved me and my wife.
Amen.
That very thing is a lost art in Baptist churches today. You know, I'll get some flack for the things I said today. I really don't care. Because it's the truth out of a King James Bible on where churches have let themselves go.
Amen.
I just pray. I'm going to close with this. I just pray. We're no better than anybody else out there. Please don't ever quote me for saying that we're not. But I pray that Black Creek Baptist Church get up in their Bible, get prayed up, join together, let's get in these trenches, and let's go out and fight this battle. I'm done, Pastor.
Amen.